I have to admit, I really, really, really like that lion. The sound of that roar has become just the sound of a familiar friend. I was so touched. I'm feeling so overwhelmed with Daryl's praise reports. Everything he shared with us, as those of you who walk with us on a regular basis know, are major things that we have sought God for. And to see such a marvelous response from our Lord at this particular time is just stunning. It's wonderful to hear what he's doing and how he's doing it behind the scenes. Just really does give us faith, doesn't it? To know that when we pray, God is listening. And the Bible promises us if he listens, if he hears, he answers. And he is. I just don't know what to say. I'm so overwhelmed. I would just like to sit here and enjoy that for about 2 or 3 hours. But we need to pray tonight. And I feel so strong that the Lord wants to minister this to your heart. Oh, before I do, though, I've got to emphasize one of the praises in the praise report, and that is the extreme revelation of Biden's activity in the human trafficking in this nation. It hasn't been a very long time since I thought somehow the Dems are going to be able to push this out of the way, and this will just get brushed in under the covers. But as we can hear this evening, that's not what's happening. And what is happening needs to happen so badly, so very badly. We've had so many visions, not just our team, but other people on the internet, at least one that is proving to have a very strong word. He doesn't speak prophetically often, but when he does, he's right on, and that is John F. Kennedy Jr., that God was going to bring Biden down. And it seemed as though it might even be in a more violent way. Of course, I never perceived that it would mean physical violence, but a violent refusal to let go of the truth and let him off scot-free for the things that he was doing behind the scenes. And we just keep praying that, and we need to keep praying it. But God is pushing this thing forward. And when he takes care of it, we will find a new blessing upon America. This human trafficking issue is as critical in the eyes of God as the abortion issue. Maybe mostly because it too affects little babies, just little, I don't even want to go into it, It's so ugly. It's so horrendous. I don't want to trouble your pure minds with just how evil it really is. So babies, toddlers, children, teenagers, some of these kids will not survive it. Some of them may survive it physically, but not emotionally and mentally. Some who survive it, God will be able to intervene in their life, and they will come forth in a strength perhaps greater than they would have known without their trial. But whatever the case may be, God loves these little ones, and he loves them more than we do, and we love them so much, you know, we can walk around with a broken heart every day. But the Lord loves them, and he loves them so much that he's just willing to talk to anyone who will do something about it. So I know that there are people hidden, but working. There are people like us. We are one of those, I guess, hidden ones, but we're working. And we're hidden for a very special reason. The Lord told me a very long time ago that this had to happen, that the ministry needed to stay very low key until we finished the work we were created to do safely. If we got out there in the front lines and people really found out what we were doing, lives would be at stake. So for safety's sake, he's given us heaven's authority, heaven's power, as is seen with these incredible answers to prayer. Not that we're the only ones praying, I'm not trying to say that, but we have a special call, a special mantle that rides over top of the prayers of the saints of this nation. Like David did with his mighty men of valor, we are really and truly, in essence, some of those mighty men of valor that the Lord has spoken to us about for so long. And we're here to help the prayer movement, silent or otherwise, to deliver these victims from their terrible prisons. And I can't tell you how much I thank you that you stayed with this. Things have happened that some have not understood. But I promise you, even the things that people have not understood that are walking with us, you will understand shortly. God has done exactly what he said he would do from beginning to end. And just as he has been doing it, he's going to continue doing it until all the promises come to pass. Nothing is too hard for him. He can give the greatest, most challenging assignments to people that are so far beyond their own capacity or ability, and get the job done because he's God, and because he knows that most of the work that needs to be done behind the scenes. So we thank him for you, And we hope that you thank him for us, because as we work together, we're going to see a healed America, not only a saved America, but a safe, S-A-F-E, America, a healed America, and a glorified America. You can wake up every morning and go to bed every night and thank Jesus for what he's doing and what he's going to do and for allowing you to be a part of it. That's what I do, because this thing is really just too great for me. I'm preparing for the gathering every day, many, many, many long hours. And the more I prepare, the more I'm learning about what has been and is going on, how involved it is, the complexity of the whole thing. And I have just been stunned and stunned and re-stunned because of it. But you know, every time I go through that, I remember who the boss is. Who the boss is and what he's saying he'll do if we'll do. And I know nothing is too hard for him. We're praying prayers. He's asking us to pray because that's what he's going to answer. And he's already decided how he's going to answer it. And in many cases, he's answering it behind the scenes anyway because of previous prayers that has made it possible. I just think God is so wonderful. I love him so much. And I know you do too. You love those for whom we pray. I know you do. Thank you, because it's the prayers of love that really get the job done. Okay, please turn in your Bible just quickly. I won't spend a long time here, because we've got some things we need to do tonight. But please turn to Micah chapter 6. I'll be reading out of the King James, verses 8 and 9, and then we'll look at chapter 7, verse 7. Some might say, how could God let me be a part of something that is going to affect the whole world? And this little brief message tonight is an encouragement of just how that is so. It says, he has showed thee, O man, or O gal, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. The Lord's voice crieth unto the city. Is that not what we're doing? And the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? As we walk with him, humility is something that is so vitally important. We have to engage in this through self-humiliation. we have to build the altar of humiliation in our heart, meaning that we don't look to lift ourselves up. We look at ourselves realistically in the eyes of God, realistically, according to God's perspective of the way He's running His world and the walk of Jesus Christ. This is an imperative. We look at these things and we say to ourselves, now obviously, no matter how much I love God, I cannot answer the prayers I'm asking Him to answer. I cannot do for Him what He's asking me to do without Him. He is the most important thing. When a person reaches a true state of humility, they become totally incognizant to their own existence. And I sincerely mean this. When Matthew 11:28-30 becomes the yoke under which we walk, we no longer see ourselves. What we see is Christ, and we see Christ in all things because He rules our soul and He dominates our mind. Christ is love. He is wisdom. He is faith. He is joy. He's goodness. He's mercy. He is long-suffering. He is gentleness, kindness. Oh, all this and so much more. But He's also the infinite God. Yes, He is all man, but He's also the infinite God. The Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, all in one, put into the package of the man called Christ Jesus. All God, all man, and His Spirit in us begins to work to bring about this reality, this absolutely most important thing you will ever experience from this point on, and that is the workmanship of bringing you into that majestic and noble place. Of bearing the image of Christ. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I walk in union with Him and have been for a few years now, and I can tell you of a truth. At times, I still stand in awe of Him. And what I mean is, it's a different awe. If you love Christ and you walk with Him daily, you stand in awe of Him by way of the fear of the Lord. But what I'm talking about is, if you study the Word and you see what it means to be Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, and to understand, to have the wisdom, to understand that He, the ever-living One, the Eternal One, the Light, the Life, the Heartbeat of God, wants to make His home in you so completely that all you know from day to day is Christ. To think that He could and actually would do that for anyone who will is an astounding reality. Every time He would visit me to show me a different aspect of this life in Him, He would end it by saying, "Nita, anyone who will can have this place in me. Anyone." That doesn't mean anyone who would like. It means anyone who will set their will to this high and holy place. He will work with them to bring them in to the place where the Father walked with the Son. We must walk in a place to do justly, live by His rules, His commandments, His virtues, His desires, His life's desires for us, and to love mercy. So here we are, loving justice and loving mercy. How in the world do you do both? If man has to do it, it becomes a legalistic rule of law that no man can live by. If you truly love judgment and you truly love justice, how do you love mercy? But Christ, who is Lord over all, is both a lover of mercy and a lover of justice. We must do justly. We must walk in the spirit of justice, while at the same time, when we look at our brother or a sister, or in some case a family member, a friend, maybe a public official, who claims to love the Lord, and we see them make mistakes, we know the justice part, we know what should happen, because we know what should happen if we make the same mistake. But to love mercy, that God would look upon that one, give them light, give them understanding, give them grace to overcome, that is to love mercy. And we're called to walk with God this way. And it says, and to walk humbly with thy God. We can walk in our own humility. That's where we must start. That means saying no to us and saying yes to Christ. And sometimes saying no to us and yes to Christ means, I'll just never forget, so many years ago, I knew a man who really wanted to advance in the company he worked in. He tried everything he knew to be the best employee that company had ever had. then a space was open up for an advancement. He knew of another person in that company that had also tried very, very hard for the advancement. But really and truly, his hope, his passion was that he would get that advancement. He wanted it so badly. When the advancement was finally given, it was given to the competitor. And this man told me he was so devastated. He just never wanted to let himself believe that could happen. But it did happen, and he had no control over it. And he said, do you know what I did? I said, no. What did you do? He said, I decided to support him. I thought about his family and what this could bring to his family. I knew he was a good man at heart. I knew he was very skilled. And I just decided to support him and not give in to self-pity. And I said, so how's it working so far? He said, I am learning so much. So that the day an open window comes to me and I am advanced, I'm going to be ready for it. And so he learned life's vital lesson. What he learned was to humble himself and to do justly and to love mercy in the light of his own being held back, not being promoted. And I thought, that man really truly is living the Christian heart. And I believe God will promote him when it's time. We want what God wants, not what we want. I can't tell you how many times in life you can have the opportunity to learn, could have, if you would choose your own way and not the Lord's. And find out, in the end, your way was absolutely scathingly bad. And you could have saved yourself so much stress, so much struggle, so much maybe even pain, if you would have taken God's path instead of yours. We get to learn that lesson a lot too. I don't know anyone who is a true seeker of Christ that hasn't had the opportunity to learn that many times on the way into the deep things of God. And the Lord knows that's going to happen. He knows when he chooses you for one thing or another, what you're going to go through before he can place you there, so that all of life's lessons will play their vital part when you are graced with that special calling. He knows. And in his love, he will let you fail that you may rise again and enter into the promise with more grace than you ever knew you would even need. There's something almost dangerous about getting the promise too fast, too soon, too early in life or in the process that he has you in. Humility is waiting to be patient and wants all things to work together for good, for the glory of God. The Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see. The Lord's voice is crying unto the city of America. The person of wisdom will hear and see. He will hear the word of the Lord. He will know the rod who hath appointed what is coming. I gave a prophetic word some time ago. I think it was maybe 2 years ago or more, that God was going to visit Hollywood. And it was going to be like a time bomb going off. And I think a lot of people would love to think that there's just going to be a major outpouring of glory. But I think discipline is coming before the glory. That those he wants to see embrace his grace and his glory and the love of his son will be willing, because they have experienced his chastisements. They have experienced that just side of God that is so difficult for people to consider. And they may suffer immeasurably before they're finally broken enough to say, "Yes, Lord, whatever you want is your desire." Now, people standing by the wayside, Christians, maybe even ministers that have sought to speak into Hollywood, may see these things happen and think to himself or herself, how are they going to ever love this God when they're suffering so much? But the fortunate thing is, if the person has the wisdom to hear the voice of God, in the midst of the affliction, they will find the voice, the will, and the face of God. And Hollywood will undergo a change. It hasn't always been this bad. But God is going to do something new in that arena. I'm not saying all stars are going to get saved. That's not what I'm saying. But there are many stars that are going to get saved when God moves the way he's going to move, that never would have otherwise. But this is not just in Hollywood. We're going to see the same kind of thing in every aspect of American life. I think about the educational system. And there are those who love God with all their heart, but they undergo persecution because they're Christians. And they feel helpless to speak the voice of God, or the will of God, or the understanding of God, or the wisdom of God. They feel helpless because they are persecuted the way they are. But the time is coming, and it's very close at hand. Things are going to experience an upheaval in the educational system. I have seen and I have felt the holiness of God upon the truths he's going to release through our educational system to our children, to our teenagers, and our young adults. There is going to be a transformation. Why? Because you prayed. Secondly, because it's so desperately needed. our children are not going to continue coming out of their university totally devoid of any respect for God. That is coming to an end. They're going to see his ways and love it and embrace it. They're going to see the fallacies of the things that they have been things that have been said to them, things that they have been taught with such insistence that this is the truth. And they're going to find out that it's not the truth. And they're going to become, well, you might say alienated from the deception. And they're going to gravitate to the place where they really can find truth. And they're going to walk therein. How does God's rod play in all this? It may not seem like love, but my dear brothers and sisters, it is the highest form of his love. He knows when every soul can take no more, and that they're precisely ready to hear truth, see light, and give their hearts to him, that he may advance them in his plans and purposes. And the same is true of a nation. When we started the gatherings, and the Lord began to speak to me about the Illuminati, we were early in the gatherings. I think the second or third gathering, it was the gathering we did in New York. He started giving me names, dates, events, just a lot of personal information about the people whose names were given. And even as these names were given to me in front of my colleagues who were working with me, one of the people online was looking up everything I said. If it wasn't that person, there was a second person to pick up the slack. But before we got off the phone, we were able to confirm everything the Lord spoke to me. When we got to the end, I asked him, "Why are you giving me this?" And he said to me, "These are the people who hate America. As I told you, they call themselves the Illuminati. But they hate America and they want to destroy it. And I've created the gatherings to bring that to a halt, that their plans and purposes will in the end fail. But you must, now listen to me, you must walk before me in humility and in grace. Don't give way to pride. Don't give way to self-sufficiency. The more humble you become, the more humble you allow me to make you, turning from your own self-sufficiency, the greater I'm going to be able to use you to bring this about. I will surround you with people who have a heart like yours, and I will give them a heart to stand with you until the purpose is fulfilled. Will you take this commission?" In the beginning, I couldn't give him an answer. It frightened me. Finally, after a long period, I'm not going to tell you how long it was, too long for him, he visited me. And he told me, "This is the last chance. Either you're going to walk with me in this or you're not. If you don't, America is going to fail. There will be no revival. The nations that have set their hearts to war against this country will rise up and take it down. Now, what will you do? Well, obviously today, we know the decision I made. And you made it. You made the same decision. You saw the value, you saw the need, and although you experience affliction from time to time, you're not running away from the call. You have a heart to see America stand in the appointment of God, and you're willing to pay the price to make it happen. I honor you for that, and so does he. But it takes humility to do that, because the task is so awesome. It is so huge. It's so overwhelming that if you don't have humility, you can't bear the yoke. It is humility that enables us to. And as we bow before him and we let him do what he wants to do in us, he increases, ever increases, continuing to increase the anointing so that you can play a vital role in what he's trying to accomplish. So I pray that you're doing that. I believe you are trying to do that, and ask him for the grace to help you do all that is needed. Micah 7:7 says, "Therefore I will look unto the Lord, and I will wait. For the God of my salvation, my God, will hear. He will hear me." And that's what we're doing. We're waiting upon the Lord because we believe he will speak to us every week and tell us what we need to do in his name so that we can pray according to his will, so that he is able to bring his will forth line upon line, here a little, there a little, and accomplish the great work he wants to accomplish. I honor you. I honor you. I honor the people that are on this team, even those that had to move on for something else. I honor them because in each case, they stayed with me for a long time. And in each case, they had sacrifices they had to make in order to do that. So I honor them. I can only honor them. I honor those who are with me still. And the chief of those is my own daughter. I see her blooming like a flower into the revelation and the understanding of what God is trying to do. And it is a most beautiful thing to watch. And with that, her faith is blooming. Her love for this country continues to shine and ever increasingly shine. Her love for you, the intercessors, is just phenomenal. And I think that I can safely say that about our whole team. We all love you. We all love you so much. We all honor you because we know we couldn't do this without you. That's why God sent you. We pray that he will bless you, that he will ever bless you, that he will increase you so that you can be all that He has created you to be through this process. And that's all I have to share from His heart. And I'll pray if you'll join me.